Hi, welcome to session two. Again, Chris Valentin here from Bethel Church, talking about spiritual intelligence. And now I want to talk about being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23, Paul said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I want to say that we actually have three dimensions to our mind, three dimensions. And, you know, if you just thought about your brain, that's supposed to be your brain. And it's actually broken up into three different parts. And this is IQ, we call it, you know, and this is an emotional EQ, emotional intelligence, and this is SQ. Now, what's beautiful about this, this is supposed to be your brain. I'm definitely not a great artist. It's your brain. What's amazing about this is that there's you as a believer, we are the only ones who actually have this dimension of the brain. This, if you will, SQ. In other words, the world has IQ, the world has EQ, but when you receive Jesus, you receive the mind of Christ. And I want to talk to you about the mind of Christ. If you'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read you a few passages there. I think we'll start from verse 9. It is written, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God prepared for those who love him. Now, in your Bibles, I know you don't have an English Bible, but in your Bibles, that passage should be in italics or it should be capitalized, because the Apostle Paul is actually quoting Isaiah in the Old Testament. Now remember this, Isaiah was a great prophet, but because he lived in the Old Covenant, he wasn't born again, he didn't have the mind of Christ, he didn't have the Holy Spirit in him, he only had the Spirit on him. He didn't have the wisdom from another age. He didn't have the gift of wisdom. He still had a sin nature. And so he writes, that Isaiah the prophet writes this, things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, has not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And Paul answers that, and he said, but for to us, God has revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Verse 12. Now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we may know the things freely given to us by God. So Paul said, now Isaiah said, we don't know. He said, we don't know what God's thinking. Paul said, you don't know, but we know. Listen to this. We know the thoughts of, got ahead of myself, the thoughts of God. We know the thoughts of God because the Spirit of God lives in us. I am the house of God. God lives in me. The Spirit of God lives in me. I'm actually a tabernacle for two spirits. I'm the temple for two spirits, my Spirit and the Holy Spirit. This is wonderful and beautiful. I want you to capture this, because there's a difference between, so when I have a renewed mind, let's talk about that for a minute. When I have a renewed mind, I hope that you got this. I think like God. The renewed mind thinks like God. But when I have the mind of Christ, follow me for a minute. I have the mind, well, that's interesting right there. Let's try it thicker. When I have the mind of Christ, I'm actually thinking God's thoughts. Okay, look at this, is two different things. When I renew my mind, Romans 12, I think like God. But when I have the mind of Christ, I'm actually thinking God thoughts. What's the difference? Let me tell you a story. Let's pretend for a minute that I have a neighbor who hates me. Let's call him Herbie. Herbie hates me. Every time I go outside and I see Herbie, he cusses me out. He throws stuff over my fence. He yells and screams at me. He gives me obscene gestures. He just hates me. And I think, all right, when I have a renewed mind, how should I think about this? I go, well, Jesus said, love your enemies. Jesus said, pray for those who persecute you. Jesus said, if someone does evil to you, do good back to them. Someone hits you on the right cheek, give them your left. If someone sues you for your shirt, give them your coat. So on and so forth. So I'm like, all right, I think like Jesus. I think like God. Okay, that's great. I'm going to bless the person who's persecuting me. I'm going to do good for the guy who does bad for me. Great. But when I have the mind of Christ, I don't just think like God. I actually have access to God's thoughts. Think about it like this. Well, let me finish my story. So let's go back to Herbie. Herbie comes out. He's screaming and yelling at me. He's cursing me. He's throwing junk over my fence. And I say, instead of thinking, what does Jesus think about this? I say, Holy Spirit, what are you thinking? What is God thinking about Herbie? And suddenly I hear, well, Herbie's father was a pastor, just like you are. And he abused him. He beat him. He molested him. He was terrible to him at home. And then when he would come to church, his father would act like a great father and a saint. And Herbie grew up hating his father because of the abuse and because the incongruity of living a double life. Okay, now I don't just think like God. Now I actually am thinking God's thoughts. I have access to the thoughts of God. In fact, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, the last verse. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah says, who has known the mind of the Lord that he would instruct him? And Paul writes, we have the mind of Christ. The point that Paul's making is that we have access to actually think the thoughts of God, because the spirit that's in God is also in you and me. Think about it like this. I have a smartphone. This happens to be an iPhone. And on this iPhone, I have videos. I have music. I have all kinds of things on here. It's in the memory. This is a pretty big memory on this phone, so I've got lots of videos and lots of music. It's in the memory. So think about IQ and EQ, if you will. When we think of IQ, and I know you guys are studying this, and EQ, think about that like my smartphone. This is my smartphone, right? Think about IQ and EQ are on the hard drive. They're on the hard drive, or if you will, in the memory of the phone. But when I hit this little button right here on my phone that says Safari, it immediately connects me to the internet. So when I hit this little button on my phone right here, it takes me to the cloud. That looks like a tree. It takes me to the cloud. And suddenly, I have access to hundreds of millions of pieces of information. I can type the word leadership in here. And suddenly, I'm going to have millions of pieces of information, blogs, videos, books about leadership that I could never fit on the hard drive. When I've been thinking about IQ and EQ, like for instance, you're in a conference right now, you're learning, you're growing, you're gaining information, you're having encounters. It's all beautiful, but it's all on the hard drive. It's on the hard drive. The thing is, this hard drive only has so much capacity. But as soon as I hit the Safari button right here, as soon as I hit the Safari button, I tap into the cloud of God. And suddenly, I have access to the engineer of engineers, to the doctor of doctors, the mechanic of mechanics, the scientist of scientists. You get the idea, because I have tapped in to the cloud of God. I have tapped in to the third heaven. I've actually tapped in to what is God actually thinking. Listen, this sounds crazy and insane, but this is our privilege in God. Now, you're going to ask, in this session is actually about, how do I tap in? How do I tap into the mind of God? So the question is like, okay, that's beautiful. How do I tap in to SQ? How do I do it? Let's talk for just a minute about developing neural pathways to spiritual intelligence. Because we talked about the renewing of your mind. Now I want to talk about having the mind of Christ. There's a great story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. It's a story of Elisha and a certain widow. The widow, she's a widow, so her husband has died. He was one of the prophets, and she has two sons. And when her husband died, he left her with a whole bunch of debt. And Elisha comes up and says, how are you doing? She says, not so good. They're going to take my sons away and put them in prison because my husband has debt that we can't pay. And so Elisha asks her, hey, what do you have in your house? And she said, well, all I have is a little bit of oil. And he said, go get some barrels, some jars, so get some vessels, like anything that'll hold oil, and bring them here and bring them in your bedroom. So her sons go out and they bring, you can imagine, they probably bring garbage cans and vases and cups and bowls, whatever will carry water, or whatever will carry oil in this case. And they bring them in, and you can imagine the whole bedroom, the whole room is full of these amazing vessels. And then Elisha takes this little bit of oil and he begins to pour it into all of the vessels until every vessel is all the way full. And when all the vessels are full, the oil ceases. And then Elisha says to the widow, now take the oil, sell it, and pay off your debt and live on the rest. Okay, Chris, what are you talking about? I'm saying that Elisha tapped into spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence isn't always irrational in this realm, but in this case, it obviously was. A miracle is something that transcends the laws of nature, as we pointed out earlier. What's my point? My point is that most of us don't tap into SQ because we are solving our life issues at the lower levels of IQ and EQ. We have phrases like, well, all we can do now is pray about it. I'm like, yeah, that's the point. When all else fails, pray. This is a terrible motto. When all else fails, pray. It's like, no, pray so that all else doesn't fail. Pray so that we actually build these neural pathways. Can I say it like this? Think about what I taught in the former session about neural pathways, and then think about it like this. If Elisha, let's say he comes to the widow's house and she's like, yeah, my husband left us with a big debt. We owe $100,000. And he takes out his checkbook and he goes, $100,000? Yeah, I'll write you a check for it. How many understand that if he would have solved the problem at the lower levels, if he would have had the resources and if to solve the problem at the lower levels, he probably wouldn't have experienced a third heaven miracle because he had a first heaven solution. And what I'm getting at is that we often go to God last when we can't solve it at any other level. And then we wonder why we don't see many miracles. Well, we don't see many miracles because we have no neural pathways to SQ. All of our neural pathways are to IQ and EQ, if you will. I'm pointing out that we don't see miracles because we don't need miracles, because we're solving problems at the hand of man and not the hand of the Lord. Are you with me? And so, we're asking the question, like, how do I actually begin to think like God? Well, I have to realize it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to search it out. We are kings who are searching out the mind of Christ. How many understand that knowledge is power, and God doesn't want the arrogant and the prideful to be the powerful. Therefore, God conceals his voice so that it's only revealed to the humble and hungry. I'm pointing out that God is not hiding things from you. He's hiding things for you. I remember years ago, and I'll finish with this, we had a computer that had software that didn't work for our automotive use. Actually, we bought it for automotive use. It had 3 price levels, but it needed to have 5. We went to the software developer and said, can you develop 2 more price levels? He tried for a week. He said, no, I'm sorry, this has all been written only on 3 price levels. We went to a supposed genius software developer, a private one. We paid him for 3 nights. He came in after hours and worked on our computer, and he said, no, I'm sorry, this only has 3 price levels, that's all you can have. And then that one night I went to bed and I had a dream. And that night I had asked God before I went to bed. I said, God, can you please solve this computer problem? Because we have a $5,000 computer and the computer we need is $30,000. I don't know what we're going to do about that. We have no money. It's winter time, but we have to solve this issue. I went to bed and I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw 4 lines of what I know now to be code. Now, you have to understand, I couldn't even turn our computer on in those days. It was a DOS program. You have to turn it on, you had to type in stuff. I didn't know even how to turn it on. I literally had to wait for my manager every morning to turn the computer on. I had this 4 lines of code that were burned into my mind. I wrote it down in my journal, not even understanding that if you get a backslash wrong, it's not gonna work. I woke my wife up, who knew how to turn on the computer. We went down to the parts house. She was not very happy. It was the middle of 3 o'clock in the morning in the snow. We get to the parts house. We put in the first line of code, which I don't even know it's called code at the time. We put in the first level of code, the first line of code. The computer goes down. It comes back up. She puts the other 3 lines in, and we instantly have 5 price levels. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the genius of geniuses. What the software developer that actually wrote that software couldn't do, what the software genius that came for 3 nights and tried to reprogram the computer to have 5 price levels couldn't do, the Holy Spirit did in giving me a dream. I tapped in to the mind of Christ. What was God thinking? What are God's thoughts around this? He gave me the code. By the way, I've never got code again. And I actually, through a dream, by tapping into the mind of Christ, I actually solved the problem. Think about what God wants to do. A friend of mine named Dan McCollum, you may know him. He was one day in a store, and in this large grocery store, they had pictures on the wall, posters of missing children that had been abducted. While he's looking at the pictures, the Holy Spirit convicts him. The church is going to be the new finder of missing children through the prophetic gift. Anyway, he takes one of the posters. You could take them off this sheet of paper. He takes one of them home. He goes to his prophetic team, which he had a prophetic team. He hides the poster. He said, hey, we're going to try to find this child. And on the poster, it said the child was 8 years old. The child had a mental illness issue. And it said what the child was wearing when she was abducted. But he didn't tell them that. It's called a double blind test. He said, okay, I'm going to keep the information from you. He's about 30 people. They broke up in teams of 2. He said, I want you to work together. I want you to pray. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit exactly, you know, who this is, if it's a male or female, how old is she, what was she wearing, and is there any other information? One of the team came back about a half an hour later and said, the Lord showed me that it's a girl, she's 8 years old, and she has a mental illness, she's mentally ill. And then he's like, okay, what else did you get? And one of the other team said, I got greenhouse, it's a relative, and the street starts with a T. And so Dano was a friend with the police officer of his community, And he called them up and said, hey, we just thing. I don't know if this is helpful. Short story, she'd been missing for 3 years. They found her that day. She was in a relative's home, green home, on the street. The officer knew the street name, and they found her after 3 years of being gone. That created a whole new ministry. Now they call them finders, and there's 3,000 people who are now enrolled in this program, in this prophetic program, and they're finding children and solving crimes all over the world. What am I getting at? It's time for us to be the smartest person in the room, the most wise, the wisest, the most intelligent, the most informed person in the world. Let's grow in SQ, girls and guys. Let's become the leaders of the new millennium. God bless you, and may God give you the mind of Christ.
I think what I really would like to bring home with you is his remark. We often start from IQ, EQ solutions. And it doesn't mean that those are necessarily bad. Jesus tells us, you be my hands and my feet, and you go and help the poor. Whatever you have, use it to bless people. But would it be a good idea to always start with the three and always begin by asking, okay, Lord Jesus, what's the agenda in this situation? What is your provision? Is my wallet full with provision to help someone who needs money? Do I have experience and wisdom to bless somebody with counsel that I have? Or is there another resource that you want me to tap into? Is there another solution? Even though my wallet is full, even though I have experience, etc. So the point is, let's start by praying and not end with praying because all else fails. So that is the way to begin to develop the whole of the package of discipleship. And just one last remark. This is not about you starting there, but you modeling this in order to help people be disciples in this way. So that means we need to do it out loud. We need to testify, tell people that we are doing this, that we actually want to pray because we want to know, okay, Lord Jesus, what is your agenda? When Jesus does it all the time, there's a crowd of 5,000, 10,000, nobody's really sure how many people actually were there. He did it twice. He says, you feed them. And they immediately begin with IQ. Okay, but how much do we have? That this will cost a lot of money. We don't have that in the box. Some of it's gone, obviously. How much do we literally have? We have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We forgot to buy bread. So Lord Jesus, now what? Actually, the right process. Lord Jesus, now what? But it could have been, in my case, I think, I sometimes need to not begin by looking at my wallet or looking at my notes on the wisdom that I've already perhaps accumulated a little bit. But ask Jesus, okay, you say you feed them. You probably have a good idea, a good plan. Lord, how do we do this? How do you want to do this? And then the Lord can teach us quicker and quicker and quicker on what the plan is for every situation. And I believe that we're in situations. Let me say this first because I need to repent. When he said in the first half, you know that you have the mind of Christ by your what ifs, and if you're hopeful. I've proclaimed more or less several times that there might be another lockdown. I repent. That is not the mind of Christ. I pray that there won't be. And I pray that you will not imitate me in this respect, okay? In many others, like repenting, if you say something wrong, do it. So, that's enough for now. Let's have lunch, and then after lunch, we'll go and pray for each other and receive whatever the Lord wants to give. and have ministry time and worship time together. That's the way we want to close this conference, because there's a lot to digest and receive in that respect.